www.ccfc.org.
Everyone, you're tuned into Harpistry. I'm Valerie Green. Welcome to our spring fundraiser. If you're a regular listener to KRVS, please support us with a donation of your financial support. You can do so by visiting our website at krvs.org and clicking on the donate button at the top right-hand side of our homepage. We thank you generously for your support. Just coming off of Festival International, and I was very, very happy to record an interview with Sona Jabarta, Cora Virtuoso, who gave two fantastic performances at Festival just a couple of weeks ago. Everyone that I spoke to about her performances had the same reaction. They thought she was phenomenal. Here's that interview followed by a solo Cora performance that she gave right here in our studios at KRVS. I'm very happy to recognize and acknowledge the fact that we have Sona Jabarta, Cora Virtuoso, here in the studios of KRVS. And welcome to Lafayette, Sona.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
We're glad to have you here. Just to get started, you're the first female Cora Virtuoso to come out of a West African griot family. And tell us why that's so unusual.
The tradition is a male tradition for the instruments, and it always has been. And there's a history that supports so many of the aspects of why it's also a male tradition. But you know, there's also the evolution of tradition, and I think this is something which we will probably see more of going forwards.
Wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm really happy to hear that. Can you explain to us what an actual griot family is? Because you're from a griot family from West Africa, correct?
Right. Griot family is a name attached to certain families within this tradition, which is the Manding tradition. And they're hereditary families that inherit, or rather that have been passing the tradition down for generations. And the Cora belongs to this tradition, this particular tradition that belongs to the griots. It's one of the instruments that belongs to the griots. It's a tradition which dates back, over 700 years. And for that period of time, it has been consistently held within these families. It's something which is still very much an important part of life in the Manding society in West Africa.
Now, I know you also, you're a multi-instrumentalist. And you also play several other instruments. And I've read that as a child, you played the harp even.
Right. I mean, I did for not very long. I would say a couple of years. I tried the harp and I did a few projects on it. I never learned the harp formally, to be fair. I think I had like two or three lessons at most. And then I just really worked on just transferring my techniques that I already had on the Cora and just putting it onto the harp. So it wasn't really in the way that traditional harp is played, but it was my version of it, a bit like the way I play the guitar. Yeah.
Now, who taught you the Cora? Was it family members?
Yeah, I learned the Cora first from my brother, Tunde Jegeni, and he was the one who was studying also with my family, with my my father and also my grandfather at the time when I was young. So he taught me when I was really young. Then I went on to, take up at the time I decided that Cora really is my instrument is the time that I went to my father and asked him if he would agree to teach me. You know, again, being a female, it's like I wasn't sure his reaction, but he agreed to teach me, and he taught me so much of what I know today.
Mm-hmm. Now, was your brother also instrumental in teaching you as well, you say?
Yeah, he was the first person that got me on the instrument, you know, because, like I said, he at the time also was studying. So I did a lot of work with him, and I got all of the, you know, my ground techniques down, you know, when I was with him. But then I kind of went away from the Cora, you know, and I went on to so many other instruments. But it wasn't, like I said, until I came back to the Kora after having been to so many other different options that the reason I returned was I know that the Kora was really the only instrument after all of them that still had that powerful connection with me. So that's when I kind of really felt that, you know, out of everything, this is the only thing I think that really talks to me and communicates with me the most. Mm-hmm.
And also, and I know you also play guitar because you also played that last night I saw in your performance. So that's one of the other instruments that you
play. It is, yeah. Right. I came to that a little later as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that one, again, was just my version of it. It's how I choose to play it, yeah, my own style, yeah.
And including, you have an album out now called Fascia.
Yeah.
And you also had a new album coming out sometime in the future. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this album is, the new one is a really important milestone in my career, I feel, because it's now much more than just an album. It's not just about making music. Basically, you know, for me, everything that I do when it comes to being on the stage, when it comes to doing my music and communicating with people and audiences, is about spreading, you know, messages, empowering people, and raising awareness about so many important and complex issues that we have to address, not only in the Gambia, but also in the wider communities. So this is really the meaning behind everything that I do. So this album is a huge challenge to me because it's something that I'm trying to represent in a sound form. So not just the songs themselves, but of course the lyrics and then the meanings behind each of the songs being something that I'm actually working on in real life. You know, these are things that I'm actually doing projects with and working with real people and children on these particular issues that I write songs about. So there's so much meaning attached to this album that it's the reason why it's taking so long and a reason why for me it's going to be a really important moment and point in my life, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you started a school in the Gambia, the ABJ School of Music. Can you tell us about that?
Right. So that was a project which I started a few years ago. And it's something that I had always really dreamt of doing, which was to establish an educational institution in the Gambia. I worked for so many years teaching students in the UK, also in other places where I was visiting different universities. And so this was something that was always something that I wanted to do, was to take what I know and what I can do back to the Gambia and sort of develop things in the educational department over there. So this started just as really more of an outreach project, teaching children traditional songs, teaching them history about their instruments and the culture, and getting them to perform to the local communities, which was great because a lot of the time the kids obviously are quite voiceless. So it's really nice that music gives them opportunities to talk to the community and talk to their elders in a way that is permitted. So music is very powerful like that. But very soon it was something that I knew I was going to develop and want to work much more seriously on. So very swiftly moved to establishing a school in 2015, which was a full-time school selected with children who have talent on musical ability. And they're selected from very rural areas, a lot of workshops in different villages to be able to recruit children, find them, and bring them into this institution. And now, 2 years later, you know, this is something that has really expanded so fast. It's been almost me catching up, you know, but I've put so much work, like literally I've worked my heart and soul into this project and getting the children the education, the full-time education that they deserve. They do all the subjects, and obviously we have quite a big team now to support the school. And moving forward this year to establishing a cultural academy in the country, since it's been successful, this school, mm-hmm. The demand now is really outweighing the facilities that I can provide. So it's really pushed now for us to expand and for it to become something that can cater for so many more people in both age and background as well.
And now, can people go to, say, make a donation possibly, or where would they go? Do you have a website that would actually have that facility?
Yes, of course. We have a website, abjschool.org. There, you know, it has all the information about the school and the courses that we offer. And of course, donations are so important since, you know, this is a project which is supporting children who cannot afford to even go to school, never mind to go to a specialist school where they are getting, you know, a very good high standard of education. So this is something that I personally sponsor through all the work that I'm doing. I, you know, send most of my resources back into the project. And of course, from the donations and support that I get from the communities that I do work with.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've also, I know that from basically learned that you've also done solo vocalist works for film as well. You did Mandela, The Long Walk to Freedom, and the series Roots just recently. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. And actually the children from my school also featured in the Roots soundtrack, mm-hmm. which was great because it was also an opportunity for them to get, you know, some recognition in an audio soundtrack. So it was great.
Definitely. Now, about your School of Music, who is it named for, the ABJ School of Music?
This is out for my grandfather, Amadou Bansan Djibate. So this is basically to mark his legacy, mm-hmm. Taking account of the fact that, you know, he stood as an icon for the generations to come. So this is a symbol of the fact that the reason why we're here today is not just for ourselves, is to be able to share and pass on our knowledge to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're touring here in the U.S. Is this your first tour of the U.S.?
It is. Yes, it's my first.
Okay. And where are you heading to after this?
We go to New Orleans from here and then on to Atlanta and Boston.
Oh, good. So what's going on in Atlanta and Boston? Are you having some more outreach programs there too?
We're at the performance stage here at the moment at the Lafayette International Festival. Then on to New Orleans Jazz Festival, mm-hmm. and then on to Atlanta. We have a few performances, and Boston. I'm working at the university in mm-hmm. Boston with a group of young students, right. On a performance. So that one is like a masterclass, a few days masterclasses.
Mm-hmm. And you said you did kind of like a masterclass at Alamon School here earlier today. Is that
right? Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. that came up very unexpectedly. I mm-hmm. didn't know I was going to be doing that. That just kind of came up, right. And it was great. It was really nice because, of course, it resonates so much with what I do in the Gambia, and these are the same kind of age group as the children that I have. So it's it was really, really great to see, you know, again, a similar kind of thing happening. It's a similar kind of institution that supports children in talented in the arts. So for me, it really resonates deeply, and it's a huge, you know, it's always a huge, gives mm-hmm. me a huge feeling to be able to contribute and be able to share things with children.
Right, right. How did that go today?
It was great. I mean, the children asked such intelligent questions. To be honest, much more intelligent than sometimes people ask me, you know. And so it was really interesting. You know, they made me think, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. It was really nice.
Well, good, good. Well, I think that's about all the time that we got right now. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on to Harpistry. And we've been playing your music for many years now. And so it just completes it that you've actually come into the studio and actually, I've been able to talk with you about some of the things that you're passionate about. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I appreciate coming. Thank you so much.
lovely chorus solo by Sona Jabarta, recorded right here in the studios at KRVS. I want to say many gracious thanks to Sona Jabarta for that interview, and a great big thanks to her manager, Olajimi Pierce, for her helping in arranging the interview. Sona had a very busy day the Friday of festival, giving a performance and a master class for the students at the L.J. Alamon Middle School. Next up, we'll hear from Sona's recording, Fasia, and follow that up with a recording from her grandfather, Amadou Bansang Jabarta.
Muso, muso, muso. Chefa ki nou doun.
From the recording titled Tabara by Amadou Bansang Jabarta. That piece was titled Hama Bajata. And Amadou is the grandfather of Sona Jabarta, whom we heard at the top of that set from her recording Fasia. We started out with Jarabi, followed by Mali Nise and Musau. And Amadou first learned the kora from his elder brother, Bala, whose son, Sidiki Diabate, was considered one of the foremost accomplished jalis in all of Mali. And Sidiki's son, Tumani Diabate, is well known in the West, and he's got many recordings to his credit, which we'll hear in this next set. We'll also hear from Mamadou Diabate, who has also made a couple of appearances at Festival International as well.
Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammadin wa sallam. كل نفس سائغة الموت كل من فاني thank you.
That last piece was by Mamadou Diabaté from his recording Bemanka, a piece titled Kora Baloba. And we started with Toumani Diabaté from his recording The Monday Variations, a piece titled Ismail Dramé. Released just last week, this new recording by Katrin Finch on harp and Sekou Keita on kora is titled Soar. The first cut from this CD is entitled Clarach, and that is the name of the first Diffi Osprey, or fish eagle in modern times, to be born in Wales and subsequently return from Africa as an adult to rear its own chicks in the UK. Back in the Middle Ages, Wales had a very large osprey population, but they were hunted to extinction. And their ancient presence proves that the migration between Senegal and Wales is nothing new. From Katrin Finch and Sekou Keita, this is from their brand new recording, Soar. Thank you. from the lovely new recording by Katrin Finch on harp and Seiko Keita on kora. Their CD is entitled Soar. We heard Klarach, followed by Listen to the Grass Grow. And we're in the midst of our spring fundraiser. If you'd like to donate, we would really certainly appreciate a financial pledge of support. And you can do so by going online at krvs.org and just click on the donate button at the top right-hand corner of the homepage. Right there, you can see premiums that we can give out as thank you gifts. And also ask your company if they have a matching gift program, a dollar-for-dollar match that you can double your gift to KRVS. And also, UL faculty and staff can donate through payroll deduction. And we have those forms here at KRVS, or you can ask us to send you a payroll deduction form through campus mail. And you can also give us a call right here at KRVS during business hours at 337-482-KRVS. And we thank you for every single dollar in donation. This has been a reminder that you're listening to Harpistry, which was produced in the studios of KRVS at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. I'm Valerie Green. Until next time, thank you for joining me on Harpistry.
Jim Cunningham here. On this week's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio broadcast, music director Manfred Honeck conducts Beethoven's Symphony No. 6, Passed Around. Plus, baritone Matthias Gerne sings 12 songs from Des Knaben Wunderhorn by Mahler. It's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, made possible by Pat and Michelle Atkins in honor of Carlow University and the Helen Ruth Gordon Charitable Trust on Public Radio International.
Monday night at 7 on KRVS.
Je savais pas, a show that reveals something about a creative endeavor that you wouldn't know from the initial observation. Tuesdays, 1:30 p.m., or online at krvs.org.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles.